Everybody that loves Jesus, say amen. This past week, God began to deal with me about a subject, and I didn't know when it was going to come up in the pulpit. I didn't know. I just scribbled a few notes down in my prayer place here. God began to speak to my heart about it. I think the timing is right, and I think the people are here who need to hear what God has laid on my heart to say. So I want to share with you today. I'm going to talk about darkness. Darkness. Look at it from several different angles today and facets of it. We'll start out our scriptural journey, Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 through 29. I know it's lengthy, but it needs to be read. Jesus is the speaker. And he says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye to another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." For a moment, I want to focus our attention on the 27th verse. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. What I tell you in darkness. What I tell you in darkness. Remember that phrase. The lessons learned in that segment of Scripture were for a specific mission given to the disciples. However, I know that 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. These warnings of Jesus to his disciples were not given to instill fear in their hearts. Verse 28 makes that clear. It says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, I don't know what they did to that little pastor woman over at Anadarko last week. If Brett Burns, our district attorney, says that he has prosecuted 50-some-odd murders, and this is the worst one he's ever seen, and he gets all the pastors together over there and talks to them, I'd say it was probably pretty bad. But ladies and gentlemen, that little old woman that came down from the city to invite somebody to come in and pray with her all this time, she's not there. She is with the Lord Jesus. I don't know what they did to her body, but they didn't touch her soul. They didn't touch her spirit. And God says you're not to fear them unless they can mess with your soul and spirit. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something. The older I get, the less I have to risk about this body. Do I have any company here? Whoa, a lot of company. Amen. Praise the Lord. I look in the mirror sometimes and I say, mirror, mirror on the wall. And it goes crack. Fear not him that is able to kill the body. Now, those words were given by Jesus to instill faith and confidence. Let me make a simple point. Not in my notes. Just comes flying through. I don't have a lot to stop anything when it comes in one ear. Either goes out the other one, out the mouth. Let me tell you this, friends. Now I forgot what I was going to tell you. So I'll move on with my text. Till it comes back to me. Is that all right with everybody? It was good. It really was good. Raymond, quit looking at me like that. Brother, you're older than I am. Faith and confidence in God Almighty. Verse 19 points out, You will be given something to say. It's there. It's a promise. You'll be given something to say. Verse 20 says, you're going to be given power to say what he gives you to say. Amen. Most likely, fulfillment of those two promises will most often be realized when life seems darkest. What I tell you in darkness, Jesus said. What I tell you in darkness. Wow. Oh, Lord. Life. Life is a continuous combination of shadows and sunshine. Day and night. Light and darkness. It's a combination of it. These cheesy looking people who claim that they have a level of faith to where they never cry. I don't have any confidence in them. That's not human. And I can tell by some of the other stuff they do, they're not walking in the Spirit that much either. Listen, you're going to weep. You're going to cry. You're going to have times that the world falls totally apart with you and you can't handle it. It's going to happen. This truth is established for the psalmist in what is probably the most memorized chapter in the Bible, the 23rd Psalm. Let's look at it. Back to business. Let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah! I pointed out yesterday at the grave, little Jacob. Jacob's troubles are over. And we've read that 23rd Psalm. I've read it. If I've read it once, I've read it 500 times at cemeteries when I would go there with the family. Lots of times I read it and I think, you know, this was written. This was written to give us consolation that he's with the Lord. But you know what? The 23rd Psalm wasn't given for the one who's going to be with the Lord. They don't walk in darkness anymore, period. We're the ones who've got to walk through the darkness. And he's with us. With us in the darkness. Now let me establish something. I've got a little theology here, just got to work it in. You're just going to have to bear with me. God is light. Okay? God is light. John 1:1-5, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13-16. Paul writes, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. God is light. John writes about it in 1 John 1:5. He said, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Use the little word in. Remember that one. In him is no darkness at all. It's significant. A very small but very significant word to what we're trying to get across here this morning. There is no darkness in him. But that does not say that he does not enter into our darkness with us. Hallelujah. God is no stranger to darkness. Exodus chapter 20, verse 21. Verse 20 in a chapter. Exodus chapter 20, verse 20 and 21, etc., etc. Man, I'm brain dead this morning. It's just Chickasaw water, that's what it is. It's all that magnesium or ad nauseum or whatever it is. Help me, Lord, now for sure. Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. Okay, you with me? Let me see if I can do better on this next verse. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 10 through 12. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in thick darkness. Psalm chapter 18, verse 6 through 11. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. Then went up a smoke out of his nostrils, fire out of his mouth, devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down. Darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. So God's no stranger to darkness. He knows about darkness. There are some things that can be learned in life only when it's dark. Isaiah refers to the treasures of darkness. Jesus, again, let me just verse 27 again in Matthew 10. He said, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. What you hear in the ear, that preach upon the housetops. This was Jesus doing the talking. And may I say that this is the first time, was not the first time, that the Son of God spoke to the darkness. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. There was light. Psalm chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. You really can't fully appreciate the light until God speaks into your darkness. When he speaks into your darkness. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 7 through 9. The Lord maketh poor, maketh rich. He bringeth low, he lifteth up. He raises up the poor out of the dust, lifts up the beggar from the dunghill. He sets them among princes, makes them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. He has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. One of the main differences when believers get into dark places and wicked people get into dark places. Wicked people don't have anything to say. Oh, that's good. I mean, that's good. That just came through and out. Wicked people have nothing to say. The world has nothing to say, but I must admit they say it quite well. I'll just not get off on a tangent. Boy, I could in a hurry. The wicked have nothing to say, but you know what? We do. We have a Heavenly Father. Praise God. Who loves us. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 14 through 16. We read, I have long time holding my peace. Been quiet as long as I can, God. I've been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry out like a travailing woman. Woo! Travailing women don't have a whole lot of respect for who's around. And they don't care who may be in church with them. If one of them goes into travail, somebody calls somebody quick and get them out of here. Because they got business to attend to. Yeah. Amen. Wow. I will gasp and pant together. Woo, thank God. I'm so glad the Lord chose the weaker sex to have babies. I usually duck when I say that. Man, where are we at here? Verse 15, God says, I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herbs, and I will make the rivers idols, and I will dry up the pools, and I will bring the blind by way they know not, in paths that they know not will I lead them. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things will I do, and I will not forsake them. God's word, he says, I will not. I don't know about you, but I just read that this morning again in several translations, and I get the idea that God was hot under the collar. He said, don't mess with me. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Don't mess with me. God said, get out of my way. I'm going to do it. Let hell arise. Let the economy go to pot. Let the world go ape. Let them go nuts. But God says, I'm going to do it. Going to do it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 29 through 34 in the NIV. You are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against the truth. With my God, I can scale a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He's a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and enables me to stand on heights. He makes my feet like hinds' feet is what King James Version says. The hind is a particular kind of animal that can climb mountains because its hoofs, the way its hoofs are created, it gets up there and it won't slide back. He's climbing the mountain, don't you get the picture? And his hoofs are fixed to where they'll be brakes. He won't slide back. Now, I have a real deep sense of appreciation for evolution for coming up with that one. And that is a horrible joke. God thought of it. He thought that up. Psalm 107, verse 8 through 14. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul, fills the hungry and soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down. There was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands asunder. Perfect picture of somebody that's going to have it their way. So they start disobeying God. And you know what? The way of transgression is hard. It's really, really hard. And when people get to doing that, God's not being mean by letting all kinds of trouble come your way. He's not being mean in that. You know what He's doing? He's trying to get you to repent. He's trying to get you to repent and turn around. That's what God's up to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let me ask you this. I've got to wind this thing down here a little bit. Let me ask you this. What has God said to you in the darkness? Whatever God says to you in the darkness is the same thing He's going to say to you when you're in the light. You know, we get a blessing. We pray through, come around the altar, pray through. God blesses us real good. And you, we get the bright idea. Well, you know what? What I was doing wasn't such a bad idea, or God wouldn't bless me like that. Now, don't look at me like that. I know how Pentecostals think. Are one. Been one a long, long time. Get the idea that we deserve a blessing. We don't deserve anything. We deserve nothing at all. But God is gracious to us. Whatever He says to us when we're going through the trial, we had better remember it when we get out of that trial and things start going good. And that includes paying tithes. Ooh, I didn't know I was going to say that. We tithe, God blesses, we get to decide, well, you know what? God, it's going good now, man. I'm bailed out here. I'm good shape now. I think we'll just quit paying tithes. Read the book. Read the book. Guy in Florida one time. Got saved, got full of the Holy Ghost, was so blessed. I mean, he just loved God. Him and his wife just got married, had a little job, wasn't making about $100 a week. He learned about tithe. He said, boy, I won't do that. I want to get anything God's got me, He wants me to do. He's been so good to me, saved me out of sin. I want to tithe. I'll do it. What is a tithe, Pastor? Well, tithe 10%. So every Sunday he started putting in $10 because his check was $100. Guess what? God got to blessing him. Over a period of months, over a period of a few years, his tithe got to be $15,000 a week. Yeah. He came to the pastor all flustered and worried. He said, you know, Pastor, this is getting out of hand. It's all right when I just, you know, when it was all right when it was, you know, this amount or that amount. But $15,000 a week? Pray for me, Pastor. And the pastor, without missing a beat, Lord, you've been so good to John and Mary. You've blessed them, and they've got a real problem here, Lord. They're paying too much tithes. So, God, what I want to ask you to do is to just knock their business in the head so that once again they can only pay $10 a week. What is God saying to you in the darkness? His word won't change in the light. Hebrews chapter 4. We read that one, not yet. We haven't. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 through 16 says, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. That could be scary. To think that God's watching us all the time and knows everything about us, has every right to condemn us. There's not a person in this room that can stand before God and say, God, you don't have a right to condemn me. Nobody here can say that to God. Nobody. But oh, some good news. Even though God knows us and sees everything we do, I want to read the rest of that. Verse 14 says, seeing then, we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God knows us. He sees us. He knows how rotten we can be at times. But He says, I love you. I want to help you. I want you to come to me because I will make you well. I just want to love you. That's what God says. I just want to love you. That's all He wants to do. Jesus is our high priest. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, who created all things. Genesis 1, we read a while ago, in the beginning God. But you know something? The Father thought it. The Son spoke it. And the Holy Spirit did it. That's the way it went. Hallelujah. He is the Creator. By His Word, all things were made that are made. Colossians 1 verse 15 through 18 says, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And way back at the front end of this thing, if I can find it, let me tell you what He said. For fear of misquoting it, like I've done so many things this morning, here it is, right back here at the beginning. He said, what I tell you in darkness, speak ye in light. What you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops, and fear not them that are able to kill the body. And after that, have no more they can do. Fear them not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah's message to us today. Let me tell you this, His heart is touched with what we're going through today. His heart is touched. There are people in this room that you've never had so many things to swarm you at once. I know that. There are people in this room that you think, what's next? I know these things. These are troublesome times. Thank God the Lord is touched with our grief and with the feeling of our infirmities. He is touched. The heart of God is touched when His kids are in trouble. I'll close in just a moment, but I want to share one little story with you. It illustrates a point I'm trying to make. When we were general counsel, there were 7,000 teenagers that were there that were directly involved in, they don't call it teen talent anymore, what do they call it? Fine arts, isn't it, Tracy? Fine arts. They were involved in fine arts. 7,000 of them. And of course, 7,000 kids, half of them brought their boyfriends and girlfriends. There were about 30,000 people there all together, and the biggest part of them was youth. And my wife and I were trying to navigate our way down to our bus that we caught from the meeting place back to our hotel room. And we were standing there. People had been jostling around us and bumping into us, and first one thing and another. And all of a sudden, there was a nice-looking teenage boy walked up to me and pulled on my sleeve. And when I turned around, it took a moment for it to register who he was. It was Charlie and Donna Bunn's youngest child, Ethan. You remember Ethan? Baby Ethan? Yeah, it was him. He's a teenager. Unbelievable. I remember Helen and I babysitting Ethan one night when they were our youth pastors back in the 90s. And Ethan, during the night, when he went to bed, he had a stuffy nose and he was restless to start with. But he couldn't hardly breathe and it was making sleeping impossible for the little guy. So around 3 a.m. in the morning, I had told Helen, I said, if anything goes on during the night, you're exhausted, I will get up and take care of Ethan. Folks, let me tell you something. Think things through before you say them. I didn't have what Ethan had in mind. And you've seen the commercials on television about guys trying to change diapers? Well, anyway, we went through that. Got him all cleaned up. And they had left some milk in the icebox so that I could know what to do if God, I had to feed him during the night. And we were in the rocking chair, and it's about 3 o'clock in the morning, and he felt like he needed to hit the bottle. So we were rocking back and forth, and I was giving him the bottle, and I thought I was doing a pretty good job, and I guess I probably was as good as I could do, but the street lamp shone a little light, just a little crack in the curtains, and there was a light that was beaming through, and I happened to look down and catch a glimpse of Ethan's eyes. And he was looking at me with such an intensity. Those eyes were as big as proverbial saucers as he questioned the disturbing darkness. Maybe I'm wrong in this, but I think what those big eyes were thinking was this: who's got to hold me? Where are you going with my world? You don't look a thing like my mama. Are you my friend? Can I really trust you? Am I safe with you? That's what those little eyes were saying. Unspoken questions. Good news is, in just a little while, the guzzling sounds started becoming less frequent, and then they stopped altogether, and everything was fine, and I laid him back down in his bed, and he slept the rest of the night. But after I'd laid him down, came back and sat down for a little while, I was just reflecting on what I'd just witnessed. And you know something? I realized that I have asked those same questions. Ethan's searching eyes had asked me. In one form or another, I had asked those questions. As I peered into the darkness, I was searching for the face of God. I was looking for God in the darkness. I was longing for a reassuring smile. And you've done the same thing. You've done it too. We've all been there. Maybe that's where you are this morning. Maybe you're asking those questions. That's why we have church. That's why we meet. That's what these altars are for. A place to pray. Someone to pray with. That's why we have these altars here. Maybe you're going through a dark time in your life right now. I want to urge you to look to Jesus. Look to Him. Pour your heart out to Him. He can meet with you today. Bow with me, please. Cheryl, could you come to the piano, please? Oh, God. Dear Lord God, thank you. Thank you that in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of a culture that has gone absolutely crazy, Lord, in the midst of a scene that honestly I never did think I would ever see, not in this country, you've been given the boot by a lot of people. God, I pray that this message that you laid on my heart was sputtered. I sputtered through it, Lord. I know that. But I did my best. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you've taken something that was said today. Reminded somebody that's in this room of something you've said to them before today. Some impossible situation that you've walked them through somewhere along the road. Now they're there again, Lord. They're there again. And they need you desperately. And I pray in Jesus' name that your Spirit would dig deep into our hearts. Pull off our blinders, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. Heal the dullness of our ears, Lord, and help us to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to our hearts in these moments. In the name of Jesus Christ. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and no one looking around just for a moment. I'm not going to be lengthy with this. But I do want to give you an opportunity to respond publicly. You're in this room today and you're going through a dark night of the soul. Whatever it is. I don't care what category it falls under. But you're going through a dark time in your life. You feel your need to get on your knees and talk to God about it for a little bit this morning. Won't you stand right now? If that's you, won't you stand quickly? Let's don't drag this out. I know there are people here. Yes, God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Yes, over here. God bless you. Over here, yes. There are others. Others. God bless. God bless you. Others. Amen. Bless you. I'd like to invite you that are standing to come and find a place to kneel at one of the altars. Just come and find a place to kneel at an altar somewhere. If you're not physically able to kneel, then sit on the front pew in front of the altar area. That will be fine too. But I would just like for the people to know that you have come today because you have a need in your life. Amen. Congregation, stand with me, please. I'm just going to tell you right now that not everybody that was supposed to have responded to this has responded. Some of you are breathing a sigh of relief. Oh, he's through. I can get out of here. You have not obeyed the Holy Spirit of God. You have not come, and you were supposed to have come to the altar. I don't want to sound like I'm scolding you, but I'd just like to warn you, it's a dangerous game to play. Because every day of this world, somebody winds up in a morgue, and that was the last thing on their to-do list that day. They did not intend to wind up in a morgue. But it is appointed that a man wants to die. And after this, the judgment. If God has dealt with you and you haven't obeyed Him, look at my hands. Please, everybody look this way. There is no blood on my hands. I have delivered my heart. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't eloquent. It sputtered and spewed. But I've given you my heart and I've given you God's word this morning. I have no blood on my hands. The altars are open. Will people gather in and gather around these that have come to pray? I'd like for somebody to be praying with each person that's here this morning. Find somebody to kneel and pray with. Don't let anybody be up here alone. Don't let anybody. Pray at your seat before you leave the building. Don't leave the building without praying somewhere. Kneel up here. Kneel at your seat. Lean forward and use the front of the pew in front of you as an altar. Pray somewhere before you leave this building. Pray somewhere.